course. 24 minutes past 10 o'clock. As I mentioned before, it's the Legal Hour with our friends at Oliver & Co Solicitors. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined in the studio by Alison Pepper from the Personal Injury Department at the Solicitors. So good morning again.
Good morning.
Right, question number one. What legal area are you responsible for? What do you work in?
Right, well, I work in the Personal Injury Department, but I particularly specialise in road traffic collisions, and I have a particular interest in cycling claims. So that's and tend to work with larger people who have been more seriously injured.
Right, so, yes. Yeah. So it's not the trivial injuries where people might trip up, but something that could lead...
As a department, we deal with all of those injuries. We deal with all clients, but I tend to specialise in the claims that are... people have been seriously injured.
Right, the more challenging ones, yeah. So what type of claims can you help? Tell us a bit more about that.
So the team, as a team, deal with everything. People who've been involved in road traffic collisions, accidents at work, fallen on the street, fallen on the road, fallen in shops. Anyone who has had an accident caused by the negligence or breach of statutory duty of an individual organisation will represent. I usually represent, as I said, the seriously injured people who have been involved, usually with a collision in a collision with other road users or because of a pothole. And we've recovered quite a lot of damages for our clients. I think last year I recovered 4.25 million for clients, which was a good year for my clients, I'd say.
indeed, yeah. It's a bit of a bad reputation, isn't there, sometimes? But, you know, we hear this phrase about solicitors chasing ambulances, and I'm sure that doesn't happen, does it?
No, it doesn't happen, but I have to say, there were, when I started off doing this job, I can remember going to parties, and one of my greatest fears was someone asking what you do for a living, because the immediate response would be, oh, you're an ambulance chaser.
That's right.
And we don't do that. No. And do you know what? We look after people so very well.
Absolutely.
At Oliver & Co. Yeah. And, you know, people need help in these sort of scenarios. Yeah. And it's very hard for individuals to run claims themselves and get the right amount of damages. So... I would say we do a really important job.
Absolutely,
for our clients.
And it's not just all about the money, isn't it? Although that obviously comes into it for the clients.
No, absolutely not. One of the main things I focus on is people who have had very serious accidents. Ultimately, we need to get them back on their feet.
Of course.
And get them in the right mental attitudes to cope with what might go for, you know, what might happen to them in future.
Right.
And how their lives might potentially change.
Right.
So rehab's a massive thing for us. So we try and arrange that if we can.
Right.
If we can get funding for it from the, you know, the responsible parties.
Yeah.
Pretty early on, just to get them back on their feet and just getting them in the right frame of mind to combat what will happen in the future and how their lives have changed.
Right, because some of them will have life-changing injuries, won't they? And obviously they need compensating for that and providing for.
Exactly, and it's a massive adjustment, and these sorts of injuries don't leave people, so that they need guidance and they need someone who they can rely upon and who understands what their challenges are, really.
Of course, yeah. Now, do you need a lawyer if you, say, knocked off your bike? Could you not do it yourself? Could you not sort of deal with the claim yourself?
You can. You absolutely can deal with a claim yourself. But I suppose the right question here is whether or not it's in their best interests, if you've been knocked off a bike, to represent yourself. Because you won't know what the value of your claim could be.
No,
so you wouldn't know what the extent of the claim could be, what you can claim for, because you would have no idea usually. So whilst there are benefits clearly of representing yourself, I would say that in most cases people will need a hand with sorting out liability, and particularly the value of the claim and identifying the types of damage that that you can recover. And as I said, rehab's such a massive thing for the seriously injured clients that they need some help, and if we can get that privately, that's a great help to them.
Rather than perhaps having to rely on the NHS whether dealing with her injuries, where they might have to wait 18 months before they're dealt with.
That is exactly the problem, and the sooner that we can access rehab for them, the better. And it is usually the case, not always, but usually, that the rehab we can get privately will be better and longer for a client.
Of course, and that's quite expensive, which that is all taken into account with
the
claimant.
Can be very expensive. For example, if you need counselling, if you've suffered post-traumatic stress disorder, the cost of that could be 2,000 plus just for 12 sessions. So it really is quite expensive, and it's unaffordable for most people, particularly if they can't work as a result
of course,
well,
that's another issue, isn't it? If it's a serious injury, you're not going to be able to work, and not everybody gets sick pay these days.
Well, that's it, and what we can do is arrange early interim payments if liability is straightforward. So if the defendants accept liability, we can step in and try and get an early or an advance payment, if you like, for for these clients, so that they can at least have one less thing to worry about with the massive changes that have happened to them. So it's very important that we try and get people in the right state to combat the injury that they suffered.
Because we hear a lot about the gig economy, which means that if you're working, you get paid. If you're not, you don't get paid. And obviously, if an injury comes along as a result of an accident, you're stuck, aren't you, really?
Absolutely. I mean, some people are lucky enough to have employers that will pay sick pay for a certain amount of time, but it will run out, and statutory sick pay really goes nowhere these days. So it is important that we can try and sort our clients out financially, just to keep them going before we settle the case.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk more in a moment, but you have a chance now to choose a tune. We're not normally allowed to do requests, but I've had special permission today, so what would you like to hear?
Well, I feel honoured, first of all. So I would like Human by The Killers, please.
You have excellent taste.
Thank you.
I did my best to notice when the call came down the line. Up to the platform of surrender, I was brought, but I was kind. And sometimes I get nervous when I see an open door. Close your eyes, clear your heart. Cut the cord. Are we human, or are we dancer? My sign is vital, my hands are cold, and I'm on my knees looking for the answer.
The Killers on D. As requested by Alison Pepper, who's the head of personal injury department at Oliver & Co., you have excellent taste in music.
Thank you.
Right, okay. Now, you mentioned that you've got a particular interest in cycling claims. Tell me why.
Well, I think I just love an underdog,
oh,
really.
Right. Okay.
They've got an unequal bargaining power, in my view.
Mm.
And they're not protected. They're vulnerable road users. That's why we call them vulnerable road users. And they often suffer really nasty injuries because they don't have the protection, save for very often a helmet these days.
Right.
And I'm really interested in types of injuries that people have and have built up a bank of tried and tested experts who we can rely upon basically to get the most damages that we can for the client, which after all is really the fundamental part of our job amongst other parts. So they also have trouble getting back on the bike often due to PTSD or travel avoidance, and because I think rehab is just so important for these clients. It allows me to exercise the powers to try and get the rehab for them, which I think is just really helpful to them, because ultimately we just want to help them get back, really. And also a lot of the time people use bikes as their main source of travel to and from work.
Yes.
If they're not off the bike and they can't go on a bike because they're too scared to or because they've suffered serious injury, then they will often have to get a car, or which has increased travel expenses. We know how expensive that is these days, and we can claim for all that. And I think cyclists don't often know, because they don't have insurers immediately on them.
I'm going to ask you about, is there an argument that cyclists should have insurance in the same ways that you can't drive a car legally without insurance, or a motorbike? Should the same be said of...
Well, you can get bike insurance.
I suppose so, yeah, but you don't have to.
No, you don't have to be insured. Equally, you don't pay road tax.
True.
As a result. But I think the government's view is, in relation to this, is they want people getting healthier and getting back on the bike and trying to avoid congestion. So it makes sense, I think, for everyone to be allowed to do that without having to get insurance. You do learn to ride a bike. Most people do. When they're young, it's not particularly hard.
Although you can fall off.
You absolutely can fall off. So, I think it's right, really, that there shouldn't be insurance. But you can get insurance if you want to.
Right, okay. Yeah. Now, tell us about some of the more interesting cases you've dealt with over the years in the job.
Well, I suppose the cases that I remember, for me, are probably a bit geeky and perhaps not that interesting for other people, but represent a client who came off their bike on a pothole on a railway track, which doesn't sound that interesting.
To work out how that works. I mean,
well, it was a railway crossing
over a road.
Yes.
Got it.
And there was a defect in the crossing,
right,
which caused him to come off. And it was interesting for me because liability was disputed throughout the entire claim, and it did go on we had to issue court proceedings. It was over 3 years in the end, but he suffered some nasty injuries, including fractured hip, and he developed a condition called avascular necrosis, which is a condition where there's a death of the bone tissue due to a lack of blood supply, and he needed a hip replacement. But the interesting really thing for me was the attitude of the defendants at the time. You know, the witnesses, the people that he was out cycling with, were actually police officers, so you would think that they would listen to their evidence. But they didn't,
and they were all arguing themselves as to who should be responsible.
We managed to secure funding for hip replacement, and I spoke to him some time afterwards, actually, after he'd had his hip replacement. He was doing brilliantly well. And we also had, I can also vividly remember dealing with a client who had, as I believe is relatively common, decided to take a wee whilst he was out at work by the side of a lorry.
Well, if you're a lorry driver and you've got to go, you've got to go.
Well, he was working on a construction site, and apparently there were no toilets about.
Right,
so he was quite badly injured, actually.
Yeah.
and we, you know, we recovered over a six figure sum for him. So, but that was an unusual one.
I can imagine. So finally, what's the highest value claim that you've personally dealt with in the time of the job?
We do quite a bit of work for amputation clients, and we support a charity called Amputation Foundation. And the last one I settled was last year for £3 million.
Wow.
And it was a young lad, and he was an absolutely fascinating and very positive character. And you know what, I think I learned more from him than he learned from me, actually, because he was so positive, and it was an absolute
wonderful
pleasure to represent him.
That's excellent. So. Right, now just before you go, just remind us of your website address if anybody wants to get in touch, which is the way people do it these days.
Yeah, so our website is www.oliverandco.co.uk.
Right.
And our telephone number is 01244 312 306 312 306.
Make a note of that. Yeah, and just to let you know that we will be making this into a podcast, so if people want to listen to this again, or perhaps get their friends to listen to it, all they need to do is to go to the D website, dradio.com, click on the on-air button, click on podcast, and then you'll see an icon for the Legal Hour at D, and you can listen to it again.
Thank you very much for having me.
Nice to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.